Psalm 33.
Glad to have you here today. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you for coming. And glad to hear. The Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The Almighty God is their Lord. And blessed, the Bible said, happy. Anytime you read the Bible, the Old Testament, anytime it says blessed, it talks about happy. Happy. Happy is the nation. Happy is the nation whose Lord, whose God is the Lord. They take orders from him. They do what he says. They live by the precept of this blessed book. The Bible said he'd be happy if you do that, Amen. And the people whom he hath chosen for his inheritance. There's also a scripture over in Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 2, just the last part of it. The Bible said, the Lord loveth in truth, in judgment, in righteousness, and the nation shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall be glory. Many times we in life, we just kind of go by things that are happening. We just kind of go by the flow. And boy, we need some help today, Amen. In these days of national strife and international confusion, when the seeds of hatred are being cultivated in the hotbeds of religion and religious and military uneasiness, and let us to throw back our shoulders and let's double up our fists that are rough and calloused with honest toil and stand up for true fundamentals of godly Americanism. We have suffered greatly lately by people who are trying to tell you that this nation was not settled and the foundation of this nation was not of God. A couple of years ago, Chad was over to the NRA deal in Washington, D.C., and he called me up. Man, it was a couple of years ago, man. It seemed like 100 years ago. And he said, Dad, he said, every building in Washington, D.C. has a Bible verse on it. And, yeah, there's a reason for that, Amen. Our country is built on that. Our country had the thought of God. We have the saying, you know, that our religion... we're not having any other religion. Have religion tell us what to do. All it meant was you aren't going to have a state religion. Like, of course, Norway, Lutheranism is their state deal, and the government pays for their pastors and pays for the. We were in Norway a couple of years ago, and I was excited about just meeting the pastor of my wife's great grandmother's pastor. And they said, well, he's on vacation. I said, on vacation? Oh, yes. It's mandatory that they take 5 weeks vacation. The government says you cannot be in your pulpit for 5 weeks. You have to be gone. What's with that, Amen? I got the heebie-jeebies when I'm out of this pulpit one time, Amen. And I love preaching. I love doing the things of God. But that's what they do. And America, when we started, said we're not having another religion. Not going to force us down our throat. We believe in the free will. And you have a choice whether you believe in God or don't believe in God. You have a choice to do that. I'll tell you what, if you choose not God, you're definitely in trouble, Amen. But you have that choice. It was the torch that lit the fires of the Reformation that mankind had read the Word of God. And this is what the Bible said, and they took a stand. The Bible teaches patriotism. Patriotism was the light that burned in the heart of the faithful, even in the darkest hour of the Dark Ages. And if, yes, I said if, our civilization survives through this new onslaught of moral impurity, it will be through Christian patriots that will fuel the lamps of truth and provide morals to fight for freedom. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people out there who have no morals at all. They're what we call amoral. They have no morals at all. They do whatever they want to do. And I'm telling you, your country won't survive. We'll never survive it. We're in trouble. Sir Walter Scott stuck a note of a true Christian patriotism when he wrote, Brethren, there's a man with soul so dead who never to himself hath said, This is my own, my native land, whose heart hath ne'er within him burned, as home his footstep hath he turned from wandering on a foreign stand. If such there breathe, go mark well him, For him to minstrel, rapture swell. High through the title, proud his name, boundless his wealth, and wish can claim. Despite those titles, powers, and pelf, the wretch consecrated all in self, living shall forfeit fare unknown, and doubly dying shall go down to the vile dust from whence he sprung, unswept, dishonored, and unsung. With man-made creed are forgotten, we find common ground in the sublime truth of the old book and in the spirit of those brave men who crossed the sea and searched for a free land in which they could worship their God according to the dictates of their heart. Our freedom was obtained by great price. Amen. We forget those things. It was first given to our forefathers who believed in God and who prayed for life and freedom. When our forefathers came to this country, it wasn't coming to take over the land. It was coming to gain freedom of religion so that they could follow the Lord God and the Word of God and the precepts that Scripture gives us to us. It wasn't come to take over people. It wasn't come to take the land. It was come so that they could have a place where no one was going to tell them how they had to believe. And they could take this good old book, this old-fashioned book, this old God-given book, this old book that our daddies loved and our mamas loved, and said, thus saith the Lord, and this is what the Bible said, and this is how we're going to live it. Listen to the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the church at Rome, Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. You hear me? The higher powers. And there is no power but God. The powers that are obtained of God, ordained of God. So Scripture teaches us that our responsibility is to God Almighty. And God Almighty sets the powers up, and we're to obey them. But remember, the powers that be ordained of God. I tell my chaplain at Cassidy County Sheriff's Office, I'm constantly telling our deputies and our lieutenants and captains and the sheriff, I tell them, hey, you are ministers of God. God has given you a responsibility to carry out the dictates and the justice of our country. You do not bear that sword in vain. And it's your responsibility. I said, you're just as much a minister of the gospel as I am. That kind of shakes them a little bit, amen. We live in a country that is supposed to live in freedom. Supposed to live in a place that we can worship our God the way we believe that we should worship it. And by the way, we're to worship it the way the Bible says, not what I think, but what thus saith the Lord God. Amen. Early Christians in history often told Nero, said that he was the first persecutor of the Christians, and he was the killer of the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul. There was also a belief among the early Christians that Nero was the Antichrist, the first persecutor. And the non-Christian historian Tychicus described Nero extensively torturing and executing Christians after the fire in 64. We Americans enjoy the benefits of a land that was founded in faith, baptized in blood, and dedicated to freedom of worship. And let me mention some great ideas that have made America the hub and the very center upon the world revolves. I would like to stir your soul to renew national zeal and to walk closer to God, without whom our nation cannot succeed or ever do anything without God. As a Christian and American citizen, we ought to have a sense of gratitude. We have one day in America that we call, it's the last Thursday of every November, and we call it Thanksgiving. Most of us call it the last day we go hunting, amen. And we celebrate that one day. But ladies and gentlemen, may I encourage you that you would celebrate 365 days of Thanksgiving, and every day we'd thank God for the sacrifice and the sweat and the prevarication that many people were deprived and went without because they signed the Declaration of Independence. And they gave their lives to it. And they gave everything they had. And most of them died and lost everything. And we today sit here and complain and gripe we don't get enough money for our food stamps. We gripe and complain we don't have good medical care. We gripe and complain that somebody's not taking care of us, somebody's not paying our bills, somebody's not putting money in our car for gas, and on and on and on. Hey, what are we? Bunch of ingrats? No, we ought to go before God and we'll thank Him every day that we live in a country that we can serve God in. We ought to live in a country, work our hands to the bone and stop sitting around. Go get a job. Go get another job. If that can't do it, get another one. You say, preacher, I'm so tired. Well, I'm tired of your complaining. Go get another job. Go to work. You say, I can't find any work. There's work out there. There's work out there. And you can get it. You just got to keep at it and work at it. Listen, nobody owes you a cent. Nobody owes you a penny. My dad used to say, son, one man's work is another man's play. So you go out and have some fun. Amen. Get a job. Go out and get a job. Get a job. Work hard. You got a family? Take care of that family. Amen. Lord, change America. We did that all. Had it not been for them standing between us and the iron hand of fascism and Nazism, we might not have commemorated this sacrifice of what we have today. Instead, we might be goose-stepping to the heels of stormtroopers to take orders from them, and the Bible being read in our beloved home would be Mein Kampf, might be our textbook. Instead of blending our voices free and singing My Country, 'Tis of Thee, we might be hailing and saluting the swastika. A couple years ago, I had the privilege of, Dad had it some way, he knew some guy that had a trucking company, and my uncle was a B-17 bomber pilot in World War II, and they had a big fly-in of B-17s in Michigan, Jackson, Michigan, and somehow Chad arranged it that we could get a ride in this B-17. It was the most incredible thing I ever. First of all, we got to the airport in Detroit, and we were standing around. My uncle was there, and there's a big B-17 just sitting there. I mean, real life sitting there. Oh, polished up, man, it was cool. And my uncle Johnny, he just about had a hiccup right there, man. He's like, woo, man. And he's a little guy, just a little guy. And he was in his 90s, just turned 90, I think. And he's really excited about it. And I'm looking at that thing, and we just kind of walked up to it. And this guy says, I need a 916 wrench. And I followed it. And the guy was inside the cowling of that one of those airplanes. Those airplane engines have 620 horsepower each. And they're a huge, huge engine. And I slapped in his hand like you're supposed to do, you know. He's thanks, and I don't know, a couple other things, you know. Finally, he comes out and he says, who are you? I said, well, I just stand here and figure out how. He said, man, I'm good, you know. And so we talked, and I introduced my uncle. I said, this is my uncle, Lieutenant John Shear. In the 40s, he was in World War II. Out of Pottingham, England, flew over to Germany and delivered eggs to Hitler, amen. And I always asked him on that special day of war. I said, what were you doing? He said, 37,000 feet flying over, delivering crates of eggs to Hitler. Amen. Did he? And so I talked to him. We started talking. We had a great time just talking. He said, what are you doing today? I said, well, we're supposed to be riding this airplane over to Jackson Air Show. He says, oh, he's got a problem. He said, we've got a problem with this engine here, and we don't know if it's a, it's like a magneto. It's not a magneto. It's something like that. It's a generator, whatever. And he said, we're working at it right now. And so, sure enough, got working. We got to fly over there. That next day at Jackson Air, at the field there, we were just kind of walking around. And he said, you realize that, he looked at me and said, you realize if it wasn't for a man like your uncle that gave his life to America, we'd probably be speaking German today. We forget that. It was a great tragedy. Some of you older folks remember the Japanese and the Germans and the power that they had and how that they were coming after us. And thank God, Americans just stood up and put their fist out and said, you ain't coming any farther. This is as far as you come. And many of your dads and grandmothers, many of your great-grandfathers and maybe grandfathers died giving their life for America, so those people there would not come here. And the Japanese were very close to coming to America. You understand that, don't you? I owe America my gratitude. I owe my forefathers gratitude. I owe those that stood up and said, we're going to have freedom of religion. Not freedom from religion like our American public thinks today. It says, no religion in government. Hey, idiot, read the Constitution of the United States and see who signed it, how many preachers were on that bottom of that. Amen. Sorry, I said idiot. That's not very nice. My mother's here. She wrote washed my mouth out of soap right there. Amen. Ugh, I can taste it right now. I was so bad, my mom kept one right in the glove box. Amen. To this day, I hate the smell of ivory soap. Let us bow our heads in humility and our hearts in reverence and gratitude to a merciful God who has brought us our national deliverance. As a Christian and American citizen, we should be grateful for the righteous birth of our nation, native land. Our nation was born in the blood and the and not in blood and plundering and conquest. Not America, though there are some who will tell you that. Our nation was conceived in the noble heart of courageous and righteous men. She was born from holy prayer. As a Christian and as an American citizen, we should be grateful for our natural industrial and scientific resources. No other country has ever made so many discoveries than any other country than America. You understand that? Because our forefathers gave God his rightful place on the set of the national life. God smiled and gold and silver and precious metal poured from the rocky crags of the Golden West. God smiled and acres of grain sprang up in the soil of this Middle West. God smiled and the picturesque hills of the East up came a bubbling crude oil, that is, gold, black gold, tea, Texas tea. Oh, sorry, I'll get back to my sermon here. I just couldn't wait to say that, and I blew it. Up came a bubbling crude oil, that is, black gold, Texas tea. Sorry. All right. Oil in ample abundance to warm our hearth and turn the wheels of industry. Unbelievable. How in the world they ever found that stuff? I know you shot at a squirrel, but anyway. God smiled. Automobiles, airplanes, machinery, spacecraft, spaceship, thousands upon thousands. iPads. Incredible. Incredible things that God made. God gave men. Salt vaccine, amen? Sulfur vaccine, man. Think of all the lives. Your little babies, some of your babies have never been here today. You wouldn't even be here without that magnificence. How about, polio? Remember polio? We forgot that in America, but it was a terrible thing. I remember my teacher, 65th grade teacher, Mrs. Costa, she had polio. And they had to put her in the iron lung for, I think, for 2 years. 2 years. I have friends in school that had polio. America. All of you bebop around with your little cell phones, amen? And you push a button and you can tell what. Last night I saw lightning over in this area, so I turned and here all of a sudden here it is. Catskill County Sheriff's Office ran out an advisory and said, hey, severe weather over the belts. And I thought, oh, boy, Chad Marsh said, I went on my computer in there, and here, the Doppler weather, this green, old yellow, green thing right on top of their house. And you got hail last night, didn't you? Amber alerts. Somebody's missing. Boom, comes up on my phone. Beep, 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 beep. It's amazing. It's an amazing thing. He said, oh, preacher, I'm not for all those gadgets. You can do what you want, but brother, I'm going to try to stay up with it, amen. The other day, I was talking to Marcia. I said, hey, we got to get this thing out about tomorrow. And she said, well, let's just put it on our Facebook. And she said, well, let's put it on our webpage. And within 3 minutes, I got a picture of the Rochester family. Put it on, post it on Facebook, and everybody knows what's going on. Amen. Well, yes, you did, because I seen how many hit it. Amen. God smiled. An industry miracle took place before our very own eyes. I remember when I was a little boy, I always envisioned a self-propelled combine. When I was growing up, they pulled them by horses. And then they got one that you hook onto your tractor, and the PTO would run the combine. Plus, there was one that had an engine right on the combine. And I thought, man, wouldn't that be cool? And wouldn't you know if John Deere came out with a self-propelled combine?
Yeah.
I know they stole my idea. It's incredible what God has given us. Amazing. America. We make it. And we start thinking of other things. We send it off to Japan. They make it for us in China. Amen. Send it to Walmart. We buy it. Amen. God smiles. It seems that he sees the American flag, old glory, has never dipped its color to atheistic, God-hating, men enslaving countries.
Amen.
God smiled, and scientists began into bringing us the atomic bomb and the nuclear bombs, which were destined to be a paradoxical instrument. Paradoxical means, says one thing means another. Of destruction, not to destroy, but to be a deterrent to save mankind from total destruction. Thank God for Malmstrom Air Force Base.
Amen.
Thank God for our nukes that are sitting out there. Those Minuteman threes, man, they are an amazing thing. Three warheads on it, man. They take off, drop one egg, drop another egg, and then the rest of it goes into the next place. Amen. And the guys are sitting, these other warriors are thinking, I don't think we're going to mess with the U.S. Thank God. He said, what are you, a hawk? No, I'm an eagle. Bless God, you mess with us. Take it to them. He said, I don't like that. You can be dead too. No, just figure that one out, amen. Somebody comes to my house and going to hurt my wife. Bring it on. I figured out, a long time ago when I got married, my dad said, now, son, you got to take care of her. You got to love her, you got to protect her, and you got to guard her, and you give her security. And then the kids came along. My dad said the same thing to them. He said, you got to take care of them kids. He said, that's so mean. You lay one hand on my little granddaughter, and you better have a bunch of people pull me off you. I'm sick and tired of things going on in America. Listen, wake up. There are evil people out there who want to do evil things, and your responsibility. My responsibility is not take care. My responsibility is not trust my kid. My responsibility is to protect my kid. You understand that? It's your responsibility. Some of you Air Force guys and gals, you go home to your family. Stay there for 2 or 3 weeks and just let them go with anybody. You don't even know who they are. Hey, you're responsible for that child. Take care of them. Look after them. In America, God has smiled upon us and given us many things. And of course, today, we stand at the crossroads. To the left lies the bogs of extreme liberalism and socialism. And to the right lies the time-worn swamps of ultra-conservatism. Well, we need to be balanced. What does the Bible say how I should live? What does the Bible say how I should, a lot of times you make a lot of fun of your president, but the Bible says you're not supposed to make fun of him. You're to pray for him. If you'd spend more time on your knees praying for him and poking fun at him, he just might do something for God. Yeah, I didn't like that. Didn't figure you'd be here, but I wrote it down. I'm going to preach it. We must keep her on the straight and narrow, America. We must prayerfully seek the guidance of God. Without question, our nation is going the way of all other nations have gone. In our studies, as we observed our past history, we're going into oblivion unless we have a national revival. I'm telling you, A new president will not change this thing.
That's right.
If the preachers in the pulpits and the people in the pews that are listening to the preacher say, you know what? That's not going to happen in my block. This is how I'm going to live. I'm going to live a righteous life. I'm going to have my knees bruised by praying for God to do something great in our country. George Washington, our first president of the United States. Listen to me. The first president of the United States, one of our forefathers, this is what he said. It is impossible to rightly govern a nation without God in the Bible. That was the President of the United States speaking. Read the letters of Abe Lincoln and how he worshiped God. There's just something about a man who worships God, who prays the Almighty, and begs God's power upon his life and upon his country, and forgets about himself. I said forgets about himself and is concerned about the peace of his country. We, as a country, are not great because of the genius of our statesmen. We're not great because of our form of government. We're not great because of our energy of its people. But the level of our nation moral and the depths of our nation's faith in God, that's where we're powerful. That's why this country was started. I want a nation that I can come to that I can worship my God the way the Bible dictates me to worship. I want to have a place that I call home and that God can be in my home. A French historian came to America years ago. And he was going to write why America was so great. Then he went to the Capitol, and he didn't find it there. He went to the states and didn't find it there. He went to the cities and didn't find it there. He went to the hamlets and he found it there. What was it? Every little nook and every little cranny and every little hamlet had a little Bible believing, Bible preaching, hellfire and damnation preacher that preached in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Offering hope to those who are sinners and hope there for the troubled. He said, that's where the greatness lies in America. It's not in the walls of Congress, the halls of Congress. It's not in the great White House. It's in those churches all across this nation that preach in the Word of God. The writer penned this wonderful poem. Not serried ranks with flags unfurled. Not armored ships that gird the world, not hoarded wealth, nor busy mills, not cattle on a thousand hills, not sages wide, nor schools, nor laws, not boasted deeds in freedom's cause. All these may be, and yet the state, in the eyes of God, be far from great. That land is great which knows the Lord, whose songs are guided by His word, where justice rules twixt man and man, where love controls in art and plan, where breathing in His native air, each should find joy in praise and prayer. Thus may our country, good and great, be God's delight and man's best estate. I thought that was so good. As a Christian, and as American citizens, we need to be conscious of our responsibility. Now we're getting down where the rubber hits the road, amen? This is our responsibility. Will Rogers said, America is a great country, but you can't live in it for nothing. America is a great country, but you can't live in it for nothing. It costs you. These men and women that get in their black and whites and put on their uniforms and put on their vest and put on their badge. Hey, it costs money to keep them boys going. Those guys that jump in those red trucks and sometimes now them big yellow ones, it costs money to run those guys. I don't know about you, but the first time somebody's down making noise in your basement and you're chicken enough not to go down in there, and you call that guy to come in and bless God, you say, what's keeping him? Well, you didn't pay your taxes, and so there's not enough men to go around, and so you're just going to have to wait your call. Yes, you will. I ride with them sheriff guys all the time, and I'm telling you what, we're halfway across the country. It's a big county. Cassidy County's big. We've got calls before. We're clear out by Sims and have to go clear over here to by Monarch. That's a long ways to go. And people say, well, we just don't want to, you know, we need to cut the budget on law enforcement. I don't know about you, but something's going on with me. I want somebody to help me. And my house burned down. I want somebody to come squirt some water on it. Amen. And if somebody down in the basement can't get them up, I need some help to get them. Amen. You can't live in America for nothing. It's a great country. Quit your griping and complaining. Do your job. Amen. Get a job. Amen. The forces of anti-Americanism and anti-Christianity are at work today in our beloved land, whether you know it or not. Most of their work is sinister and undercover. They leaven, and they seek to leaven the whole loaf of the way of life. They tell you that America is not of God. And they're trying to take in God we trust. They've been trying to take it for a long time. They already took prayer out of our school in 64, took our Bibles out of school. They're taking God out of our schools. Are we in trouble? Yeah, we're in trouble. But let me just remind you. The Bible says, in the day of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Is Jesus coming back? The Bible says, the trump of God shall sound, the dead in Christ arise, and those that remain shall be caught up. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. There's a day Jesus Christ coming. And you've got to remember, these things have to come to pass. Why does it surprise you that these problems are coming and all these pestilence and heartaches and sorrows are coming in our life? Why is it? Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming.
Amen.
Maybe today. The most important thing you'll ever do in your life is you be ready for His coming.
Amen.
Knowing for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. It's coming. Everything that He said and prophesied that things would happen, that Jesus is coming, it's already happened. All we're waiting for the twinkling of an eye. And we're gone. That's why Jesus Christ said, it behooves you that you should accept Him as your Savior. Time is short. Life is quick. There's no guarantees in life except one thing, and that's death. The Bible says it is appointed on a man once to die, and then there's judgment. I preach lots of sermons at funerals. And this is what I say to them. I said, it is amazing that I only have about 30 minutes to encourage you families on the most greatest enemy known to mankind is death. It is appointed on a man once to die and then to judgment. America. I love America.
Amen.
Every time the Stark Spangled Banner is sung, I cry. Every time I see a picture of a military funeral, breaks my heart. I was enjoying the parade the other day, the 4th of July parade in Great Falls. I was just really enjoying it. I was getting with it, man. I was having fun. They were throwing candy and pop and all kinds. Man, that's great, amen. What more is it? And all of a sudden, here comes a float with a casket. And I go, I was done. Might as well went home. No more fun. Because that was somebody's boy. Or that was somebody's girl. That was somebody's daddy. That was somebody's mama. That's what America means to us. And I thought, that was very appropriate. Flag draft coffin. And one of these days, I'm going to lay in one of those, and one of these days you're going to lay in one of those. Are you ready? That's all I'm asking you. America has given you the freedom to listen to a preacher today preach the Word of God. And it would be a terrible thing you walk out of this building today without Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. It would be a terrible thing you have no hope when you leave this place. Because that's what our forefathers, the patriots, that's what they gave us, freedom of religion. Not from religion, but freedom of religion. No man can make any religion or the law that we must live by. We have the opportunity to believe in the dictates of this blessed God, His Word. And one of those dictates is, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God promised you. I hope today you receive Him as your Savior. Father in heaven, thank you.